the Holy Spirit, and this is part four, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that's plural. And we're looking this morning at the gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of discerning of spirits. Amen. You've also been given this morning a list of the spiritual gifts. I hope everybody got one. If you didn't, then, you know, be sure you get one on the way out. And this can help you, you know, put them to memory. But the main thing is to get them in your heart. And there are three categories: the revelational gifts, which include the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom. We've looked at the word of knowledge and word of knowledge. Gift of the word of knowledge is either present or past. Amen. The gift of the word of wisdom is future, and we're going to be looking at the gift of discerning of spirits this morning. The next category are the power gifts, and the power gifts are classified as the gift of faith, the gifts, and that should be plural, so you'll be getting another handout later on, so you can just put an S there, gifts of healing, because there are different types of gifts of healing. We'll talk about that when we get to it, and the gift of working of miracles, the gift of working of miracles. And the third category of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the inspirational gifts, and they include the gift of prophecy, and we looked at that as well, the gift of tongues, and the gifts of interpretation of tongues. So those are the three categories of the gifts of the Spirit, and we had the reading from the scripture where they're listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 9, so we're not going to go there right now. So this morning we're going to be looking at the gift of discerning of spirits. This is a very important gift that is very needful for every member in the body of Christ. And it is a revelational gift. It brings a part of information that deals with the divine, or it deals with the demonic. And you can, have both of them revealed. And it also deals with the operation of what's behind the spirit in a person's life. It's not the gift of suspicion. We're going to be talking about all of these and looking at examples shortly, praise God. But it's very important to allow these gifts to flow in and through your life and not to be fearful. Amen. Praise the Lord. These gifts come from God Almighty. They come from God Almighty. And they are for members of the body of Christ to reveal things that we would not know naturally by the natural mind, but they reveal supernaturally by Almighty God. Amen. The first example that we're going to look at is Paul and Barnabas. Now, Paul and Barnabas were traveling, and they came to Paphos, and there was a deputy that wanted them to come and bring forth the word of God. And Paul came and expounded on the word of God, and this man was, faith was being built up, and he was believing, but there was a sorcerer that was in the town. And the sorcerer tried to hinder what Paul and Barnabas were doing. He tried to hinder because why do you think he tried to hinder? Because he did not want this deputy to accept the Lord as his Savior. Amen? How many know that the enemy of our soul, who is the devil, does not want anybody to be born again? Amen? He doesn't want the word that is going forth in this house to go forth. He doesn't want you to receive it, and he definitely does not want you to act upon the word that goes forth. Amen? So he came against Paul and Barnabas. It didn't say how he came against them, but it could have been a lot of different ways how he came against them. But the main thing is that he was trying to stop the word of the Lord from going forth. And he was a worker of the devil. He was a sorcerer. Anyone that's a sorcerer or a warlock or a witch, then you know who their father is. Their father is who? The devil. Amen. Praise God. For God's people, who are not deceived by the enemy. Amen. Praise God. Now, Paul, the word of God says he was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. And when he, the gift started operating in him, see, even though you have these gifts and they operate, they don't always operate every one of them at the same time. And sometimes you can believe, say, for example, with healing, you know, I believe by faith that whenever I minister, that anointing is there. Amen. Sometimes it's instantaneous. Sometimes it is not. The same thing with the gift of discerning of spirits. We're going to look at how you can know the operation of the spirit behind a person, as well as having your spiritual eyes open to literally see a demonic spirit, or you can see supernatural spirit from, you know, from Almighty God. Amen. Praise God. But the gift began to operate in Paul, and he began to define who this man was that was working against them. It doesn't even say, they may not even known about him. They may have known that he was a sorcerer, they may not. But at some point in time, that gift began to operate in Paul, and he began to tell him, you know, that he was a evil person. He said he was a child of the devil. He was an enemy of all righteousness, and he was full of subtlety. And that word means craft, deceit, and mischief. And what happened was Paul pronounced a judgment of God on him. He pronounced a judgment of God. And he said, for a season, you're going to be blind. And when he pronounced that judgment on him, that man was blind. He said, you're not going to be able to see the sun, because he was working against the purposes of God. Now, I want us to, you know, it's one thing for me to tell you, but I want you to see that as well. So turn to your Bible, Acts chapter 13, quickly. Acts 13. When you've found it, can you say amen? We're not going to look at all of it. We're going to look at part of it. I'm going to read verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Verse 8. But Emmaus, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. What did the man do? Withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety, all and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Immediately there fell on him a mist of darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And then verse 12 says, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. He saw the power of God. Amen. And he, that was enough for him. Praise God. To God be the glory. You know, I was reading a true story about church service. And in this church meeting there that they were having, there was a lady that stood up. You know how sometimes you have guest ministers come in, and you have, you know, different people come in from other places. Well, this person stood up, and she told them, she said, I'm an ambassador that has been sent here from the Lord, and the Lord has told me that I am to preach and do this and that and so forth and so on. And what she was doing was she was after to get money out of the church, and she wanted to, do what she wanted to do. And she used the name of the Lord, said it. Well, there was another lady that was on the side of the church, and the gift of discerning of spirits began to operate in her. And the woman stood up and told her who she was, that she was a fornicator, she was living with this man, and that she had boasted about how she was going to come to the church, and she was going to take money from the church, and what she was going to do. And that she did not repent, that the judgment of God was going to fall on her. Well, the whole church started praying. And I'm sure they were probably praying in spirit, most of them, not all. And when they looked up, she was out of there. So that's an example of the gift of discerning of spirits in operation. You know, and so God wants his body to be able to flow in the gift of discerning of spirits. That woman knew by the power of Almighty God that this woman was not a woman of God. She knew she was in sin, and she knew her motive was to steal from the church and deceive the people of God. Can you see why it's so important that we have that gift and all of the gifts in operation? You know, sometimes even in the church, it might be somebody that's in the church that has been there that is sowing seeds into other people to try to cause discord and division. So you need that gift to be able to discern. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And so it's not just limited to those in the fivefold ministry, but it's supposed to be for every single person in the body of Christ. Amen. And then you need to have that gift in operation in your life so that if somebody comes and tries to do that, that you know that this is not of God. Period. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's the example of gift of discerning of spirits. Amen. Another example is, again, with Paul, this time Paul and Silas. And they were going to pray. And this girl started crying out, "Oh, these are the men of the Most High God. They show us the way to salvation." What she was saying was the truth. These were the men of the Most High God. They had come to tell and show people the way to salvation. So even though she was not of God, she was still telling the truth. Amen? Now, it said that, you know, and Paul didn't cast the spirit out of her right away. This went on for many days. She did this. She, you know, she would follow them and she would say, "Oh, these men are men of the Most High God. They are showing us the way to truth. They're showing us the way to salvation." Until finally that gift was in operation and Paul cast that demon spirit out of her because she was possessed by a demon. In other words, that demon spirit was actually inside of her, and it made her masters really angry. Just like it made the people angry, the sorcerer angry as well. But made her masters angry because when Paul cast that demon spirit out of that girl, she no longer could bring them money. She was bringing money to them. Now, she how she was working, as a soothsayer. And a soothsayer would be somebody like today you call a fortune teller or a psychic. And that Christians don't have any business calling up the psychic hotline or going to any fortune tellers. Amen. Or even going to, you know, reading the astrology page. You see what's my sign says this? No, your sign is Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So as believers, that's not what we do. As a matter of fact, we, you know, should be able to get to a place where, you know, God, you can hear God's voice for yourself. Amen. Praise God. So this girl was, you know, saying the truth, what she was saying. But when he cast the spirit out of that girl, her masters were so angry that they caught Paul and Silas, beat him, and they were, you know, cast into prison. Why were they so angry? Because she couldn't bring money. How was she even able to be a soothsayer? Because of the demon spirit that was in her. How many of you remember the movie that you saw Christmas? Amen? Well, just like we, you know that angels are around us, well, they're demon spirits as well. Even though you may not always have your spiritual eyes open, you know, to see them unless God chooses to. Well, this demon spirit was able to get information for this woman about other people. And that's how she was able to tell certain things that were true. Because they're spirits that are referred to as familiar spirits. And they're called familiar spirits because they know what people do. They know, you know, they've known you. You know, spirits are ages almost. So they know, you know, from the day you were born. They know your likes, your dislikes. They know what you do, you don't do. Just like God knows. Except the difference is God is all-knowing and demon spirits are not all-knowing. Neither is the devil. God is all-powerful, but they are not. Amen. So that was why they were upset, because this demon spirit, she didn't have it anymore to give her information to deceive people. That's what she was doing. She was giving information that was not of God. Amen. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to Acts 16. You know, because I'd like you not only to hear the word, but also to what? See the word. Amen. Praise God. How many love the word? Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Let's look at verse 16. We're in Acts 16. I'm not going to read it all. You can read it later. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, certain damsel possessed of a spirit of divination. Verse 16, Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. How long did she do it? Many days. Then finally, you see, Paul's just grieved. He's being grieved in his spirit. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit. Did he speak to her? He spoke to that demon. "I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone. They caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace unto the rules. And it goes on. You can, you know, find out what happened. That's another teaching. But the thing is, I want you to see how this woman was possessed by a demon, but Paul cast that demon spirit out. He didn't cast it out in anybody's name except the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. The girl was set free. Praise God for that. Amen. But her masters didn't want her free because they wanted her to bring them money. So, you know, as Christians, we don't go in that direction. If you've been in that direction, you know, even in the past, you know, repent of that. And ask the Lord to cover it with the blood of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Knowing that greater is God in us than he that is in the world. Let me hear you say that. Greater is God in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we don't have to be fearful, but God wants us to know we've got God the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And even the scripture in your bulletins, you know, I encourage you, you know, to put it to memory. Praise God. Because the Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. John 14, 16, 17. And Jesus said, verse 16, "I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter." See, Jesus was their comforter when he was on the earth. "That he may abide with you forever." Verse 17, "even the spirit of truth." Who is the Holy Ghost called? The spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Is he in you now? Amen. He's in us. So we've got the God in us. God the Holy Ghost, who is the spirit of truth, who will show us and lead us and guide us in the right direction if we seek him. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we see another example where the gift of discerning of spirit began to be in operation in Paul, and he took authority over that demonic spirit and he cast the spirit out. Amen. Praise God. I shared this, I'm going to share it again, that some time ago, that the gift operates in a lot of different ways. Just because it operates in one way doesn't mean it's always going to operate in the same way. But, and it may not operate in every person in the same way. Same with the gifts of healing and all, you know, all the different gifts. And I share with you, you know, what I see in the Word. I share with you how it operates in me and how I've seen it operate in other people. There was a time a couple of years ago that I was dreaming, and in this dream I saw this eagle, and I woke up and I could, you know, still see it. And I woke up talking, and I was saying, "Send help from the sanctuary, send help from the sanctuary." Now, by the gift of discerning of spirits, I knew that that was God and not the devil. Amen. And so I began to pray in tongues. I got up, I looked at the clock. It was about 3 a.m. and I began to pray in the spirit, praying because I knew that it was God urging me to pray, waking up saying something like, you know, send help from the sanctuary. So I began to pray in tongues and pray in tongues, and then finally I went back to bed. Well, I got up the next morning and I looked up that scripture, send help from the sanctuary. I'm going to ask you to turn to it. I believe it's in Psalms chapter 20. Turn there real quick. I want you to see it because it's a very good scripture. We're going to read it together. And the eagle symbolizes God. The eagle symbolizes God. Okay. Everybody there? Let's read it. We're going to read all of Psalms 20, starting at verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifices, shalah, which means pause and think on it. Verse 4, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. So I woke up and I was saying verse 2, send thee help from the sanctuary. And I was just saying it over and over and over. And then I began, because I knew it was God and not the devil, you know, and I said, oh, you know, I wouldn't have said, I rebuke you, devil, and gone back to sleep. So I knew it was God. The gift was in operation. I knew, and I began to pray in tongues. Well, I'm not sure if it was the next day, but that week, a short period afterwards, I met with an in-law of mine that was a police officer, and she's very, very tiny. And we got to talking, and I was telling her, you know, about the dream and so forth and so on. And she told me, and we, you know, she said, you know, what happened to me? She said, and I answered her. I said, was it 3 o'clock? She said, yep. And what had happened was a drug bust going down. And there was two huge men, and she had to, you know, subdue. And she caught this big, huge guy and subdued him, and she knew it was God. But when that was going on, God didn't tell me, you know, well, you know, your in-law is in trouble, get up and pray for it. He didn't tell me that. He didn't show me any of that. But I woke up saying, send help from the sanctuary, and I looked at the clock and began praying in the spirit. So I'm sharing that to let you see different ways that the gifts of the discerning of spirit can operate. And, you know, just because your body's sleepy, you're tired, don't go back to bed, because it can make the difference between life and possibly death in somebody's life. Amen. Amen. It's very, very needful. And then we've got to be obedient to flow in the gifts. Had I not had the gift of tongues, I would not have even known how to pray. You know, trying to pray in my understanding, I wouldn't have known what to pray. But the Holy Ghost prays the perfect will of God the Father. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, you know, we're learning how to flow in these gifts and how they operate. Jesus moved in the gift of discerning of spirits. He moved in all the gifts. Praise God. And the example that we're going to look at is found in Mark. But there was a boy, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with this scripture, that suffered greatly from the time he was a child. And this boy, sometimes the demon spirit would cast him into the fire. Sometimes the demon spirit would cast him into the water. Why? Because the demon spirit wanted him dead. And his father was trying, you know, crying out, you know, for somebody to help his son. And he went to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't help the boy. And so he took him to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, please have compassion on my son. And he said he has I believe he said he has a dumb spirit. So Jesus, you know, told him, he said, you know, if, you know, God, all things are possible to those that believe. And the father, he cried out, he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He was saying, Lord, you know, I believe in all I can, but if there's any unbelief, please help me. Because he wanted his son to get the victory. Amen. Praise God. So what happened was Jesus called the spirit, and this was the gift of discerning of spirits and operation too. He called the spirit a deaf and dumb spirit. And he said, come out of him, you deaf and dumb spirit. And Jesus did something else. And, you know, we learn, and, you know, and I'm going to start doing this. He told the spirit to not enter him anymore. He said, come out of him and do not enter him anymore. He commanded him. Amen. Praise God. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark 9. Because I've cast many a spirit out of different people. And everybody that has a demon spirit is not possessed. Let me say that. Believer, if you're born again, you can't be possessed, but you can have a demon spirit oppressing you. Amen. But not possessed, because God is in there. Amen. If you're truly born again. Everybody in Mark chapter 9. I'm going to start reading, let's see, verse. Let me see. 18. And wheresoever he taketh him, he gnasheth him. And so the father is talking about his son. Let's start at 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which have a dumb spirit. So he identifies it as a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed for him. And I'm going to stop right there. If you have God's power in you, particularly if you are prayed up and fasted and living a holy life, and you go ministering, those demon spirits know it. And they are fearful. And many times, because I've had this happen so many times, going in, that they start screaming and hollering and don't touch me. And you think it's the person, but it's not the person. It's that demon spirit in them that does not want the person to get free. And some of you that have gone with me to minister in nursing homes, you've seen it happen. And that is that demon spirit that does not want the person to get free. It may sometimes sound exactly like the person, or it may have a different voice. It might be a woman and have a voice of a man or an animal. It may start growling, all kinds of things. But it's a demon spirit, and that person needs to be free. Verse 21, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thy mind unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Verse 26, and the spirit cried and rent him and sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. I looked up that word rent in the Greek, and it means to have convulsions, seizures, and even said, you know, epilepsy. So he could have had epilepsy, but he had other things going on too, because Jesus called out a dumb and deaf spirit. So he may have been deaf, you know, and not able to speak. But Jesus knew exactly what to call out. And look at verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he came unto the house, his disciples asked him privately. See, they didn't ask him when everybody was around. They asked him privately. And Jesus mentored them. You know, he told them, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. How does it come out? No other way, only by prayer and fasting. So that lets you know that Jesus was prayed up. He was fasted up. And, you know, we're at the place where it's so important for believers to have a prayer, consistent prayer life and consistent times of fasting. Because you never know when you're going to have to minister to somebody. You never know. You may get a call from me. You know, I want you to go so-and-so and minister to so-and-so. You're not going to have time to be, you know, oh, I got to fast. Nope. You need to be, have already had that time. You may be able to pray in the spirit on the way there, but you still need to be prayed up. And you can't be living a sloppy life. Because the devil knows if you live in an unholy life. Amen. So you need to be ready at all times. When I was preparing, I just have so many examples of, you know, different times when I've ministered to people. But I'm going to just share a couple of times. This was a time when I was asked to go, somebody I didn't know, to a hospital in this area. I believe the pastor of the church had asked me to go. And so I had asked another lady to go with me. And we went, and this guy was in ICU, young man in his 20s, and he was unconscious. And began to minister to him, and, you know, didn't get any results anyway, right away. And the Lord revealed to me to call, to bind the spirit of death. Anytime anybody's in unconscious, always bind Satan, number one. Before you cast any spirit out, always bind the devil. Then bind, if God speaks to you a spirit, then bind it out. He spoke to me to bind the spirit of death and alcoholism. And so I bound them and cast both of them out. And when I did, the guy came back. He came out the coma. Before I did that, I could smell alcohol. I mean, it was so strong. And I asked the lady with me, do you smell any alcohol? She said, no. I said, do you smell any alcohol? And she got close to him. She said, I don't smell it. Well, I smelled alcohol. And so this is another way the gift of discerning a spirit can operate in you. You can smell. Sometimes God will allow you to smell things. I can go in the hospital most times. I can smell the spirit of cancer. Different spirits have different smells. And so I, you know, then God told me, he said, bind the spirit of that, bind the devil and bind the spirit of death and alcohol and cast it out. And so I did. And then the boy came out of unconsciousness. Well, in talking to him, this young man, we learned that he had been drinking and had taken an overdose of some kind of pills along with the alcohol. And this is what had happened to him. But as soon as those spirits were cast out of him, he was out of it just like that. Now, he also accepted the Lord as his Savior. So we give God the glory, the honor, and all the praise. Amen. So I'm sharing these things with you because the gifts of discerning of spirits operate in different ways, and they don't always operate the same way. So sometimes you might be able to smell. And next person next to you may not smell a thing. Amen. Praise God. Another example, I was asked, this lady asked me to go to another hospital, in Prince George's County. It was different. It was a long way from where I lived, and to go minister to her sister who was in the hospital. Well, and you have to be tuned into the Holy Spirit. And that's why, like, if you're going to be ministering and somebody's driving you, you really need to have the radio off, and you really don't need to be doing a lot of talking. The person that's with you, if you're going to be the one that's ministering, really should be praying in the Spirit. And should be really be quiet so you can, you know, just be, you know, getting closer to the Lord. Well, as we were going down the hall to this lady's sister that she'd asked me to go minister to, the Holy Spirit said, go in this room. And so I told her, I said, you know, I think we need to go in this room. And so she said, okay. She didn't give me a hard time. You know, some people, why we got to do it? No. Even if they try to give you a whole hard time, you know God said it. You go if you got to go by yourself. Amen? Well, we went in the room, and there was this elderly black lady that was completely bent over, like almost her head down to her knees. And she couldn't get out of the position. That was the position that she was in. And so began to talk to her. She was in her right mind. And I don't remember the name of the spirit now, but God had me to bind the devil, always bind Satan first, and then cast the spirit. It may have been spirit of infirmity. I really don't remember what it was, but to cast that demon spirit out. Well, she, you know, as we prayed and laid hands on her and took authority over the spirit, she got back to her normal position and went on to minister to the lady's sister. Well, when I got to the room, and I think we, you know, continued to minister to her. I think it was then tried to lead her to the Lord and wasn't able to do it. Yeah, she'd get to a certain place and she would stop. She wouldn't finish the prayer of, you know, accepting the Lord. And so at any rate, ministered to her sister, and I told her, I said, I've got to go back to this room to see this lady. So she said, okay, and I left her with her sister. I went back to the room. By this time, the lady, they had put the lady in the bed, and she was, you know, able to sit up and so forth and so on. Well, I tried, and the Lord told me, he said, minister salvation. But every time you get to the place where it's to her to call on the name of Jesus, she could not say his name. That demon spirit would not let her say the name of Jesus. But when I cast out that spirit that had her bound, then she accepted the Lord as her Savior. And I mean, she was shouting the name of Jesus throughout that whole hospital. The nurse was talking about, you know, she's hollering. You know, she said, Jesus. Yeah, because she had been set free. So sometimes, you know, people are bound and they can't even accept the, you know, Jesus because the devil doesn't want them. Yeah, that's that, like Paul said, it was a spirit that was trying to hinder them. Amen. Amen. You know, but God, you know, doesn't want us to give up, and he wants us to be sensitive to his voice and led by his spirit. Amen. Praise God. And, you know, and as you know, it is important, you know, when you go to minister, if at all possible, particularly, you know, to take somebody with you. Because if you're ministering, you know, talking to the person and so forth, then the other person should be praying in the spirit. Not loud, not obviously, but that other person needs to be, you know, praying in the spirit. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So the gift of discerning of spirits can operate in a lot of different ways and is very, very needful. You can see many times God will open your eyes and you can see, actually see a demon. They do not all look the same. Anyway, I was just thinking about something. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you. I hadn't planned on telling you all. The gift, you know, when they are not pleasant to look at. A lot of them are very hideous. I mean, like some of the things you see on some of the children's cartoons are only worse. And some of them don't even look resemble like that. They have different shapes and forms and things. Well, in years and years ago, when it started flowing in it, and I would, you know, be able to see the demonic spirits, I got to the place, I told my husband, you know, and I said, I don't want to see this. And I prayed, and God took it away. And, but then, as, you know, time went on, I realized, you know, that I was not in, you know, the will of what God would have me to do. You know, so, you know, I asked the Lord, you know, I repented. You know, and he gave that back to me. You know, everybody likes to see angels and, you know, see God, things like that. But when you see other things, sometimes you don't. But you need both. You need both. And God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? Amen. Praise God. There once in a service in our home, this was a few years ago, too. There was a man, and don't even try to guess who it was, who had come to the service, and we were having praise and worship. Pastor Lewis and I were up front, you know, and we were having praise and worship. Well, as we were praising and worshiping, this man, who I really don't believe, you know, was saved, but these demon spirits, I could literally see demon spirits coming out of him. And the way that these looked, and they looked like this too, they were had the form of a bodily form, but gray form. You know, just, you know, as he was praising, as he was singing, they were coming out of him. The devil and his demons hate praise and worship. They hate it. Amen. Praise God. There was a time In the beginning, when I started to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, there was had a relative. My parents were down, and they had brought one of my relative's dogs. And it was a little tiny dog. And that dog was, it was evil. And I knew by the Spirit of God, gift of discerning and spirit in operation, that the dog was possessed by a demon. And I told my parents that. And, you know, they said, oh, no, yeah. I said, yeah. And the Lord said, dog's going to die. Well, he was really an evil dog. And I could see the, you know, the demon spirit. So God will open your eyes. You know, even sometimes you might be in the presence of someone that is possessed with a demon spirit. And you can literally, God can open your eyes. You can see that demon spirit. Person with you may not even, you know, they most times can't. Amen. And to make a long story short, I thought that, you know, that he was going to get hit by a car or something. Well, the dog was killed by another dog when it went back to its owner. So I'm just sharing with you, you know, how the gift of discerning of spirits operates. And you don't have to be fearful, but God wants us to know so that we know how to operate in these situations. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I'm sharing with you so you'll know, you know, get, you know, what to expect, and you won't be fearful, because greater is God in you and me than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise God. And I'm not sharing everything. I'm just sharing, you know, some things with you. Another way that the gift of discerning of spirits operates is that you know the spirit that's behind an individual. And that's not, you know, so you go out, well, you know, so-and-so has got this spirit. No. It's so that you pray for that individual. Amen? Praise God. An example is Ananias and Sapphira. And we're not going to turn to it, but you can read it later. And that's in chapter 5 of Acts. And Peter knew the spirit that was in operation in Ananias and Sapphira. And they... where there was a spirit that was lying, and it was a spirit that was deceitful. Now, they had gotten money from some land that they had sold, and they lied about it. And because they lied, Peter said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And they both died. Everybody remember that story? But see, that was the gift of discerning of spirits that was in operation in him. To know supernaturally what was going on and what the spirit was that was in operation. Amen. I was telling Pastor Lewis, we were talking, and on Thursday, for those that were here, you remember Apostle Papula, and he was sharing some things about Pastor Lewis and I. And the scripture he gave, you know, was in 2 Chronicles, you know, how the Lord's eyes go out to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those hearts of perfect works. And remember that? That was the gift of discerning of spirits that was in operation. Now, he did not know my heart from the natural mind. He did not know, and I can't speak for Pastor Lewis, I can only speak for myself, but I'm sure that he was on target with him as well, that my heart's desire is that God's perfect will be done in my life, your life, and everything that concerns any of us. There was a plaque that I had seen during the Christmas holidays that I had wanted, but it cost more than I wanted to pay for it. And it was only one. And it said, thy will be done, because that's my heart. Well, one of our relatives gave, well, two of our relatives, that's what they gave me for Christmas. They didn't even know it. They didn't even live anywhere near this store. But I'm saying how God works and how he operates. And so I'm just sharing, that was the gift of discerning of spirits that was in operation in Apostle Pula on Thursday when he was speaking about Pastor Lewis and I. So that's, you know, another way that the gift of discerning of spirits operates in a believer. Amen? Amen. I mean, he's not in my prayer closet with me when he hears me praying my prayers. But God knows. Amen? Hallelujah. And God desires that the gift of discerning of spirits operates in every single believer. And sometimes it's, you know, that you have your eyes open, that you can literally see into the spiritual realm. You can see the demonic spirits or spirit. You can see angels. Or sometimes God, you know, will even reveal himself. And many times he reveals himself here in the form of a Bible. It talks about a smoking furnace in the form of his glory as smoke. And it gets so smoky in here sometimes you can barely see. At least me, I can barely see because of the presence of God. Amen. Praise God. And so God wants his people not to be fearful, but to understand each one of the gifts so that you can flow in them. Amen. Sometimes I'm not going to go. There's so many different ways that gift can operate, but, God does not want his people fearful, but he wants each one to flow in the gifts. Amen. Amen. Praise God. There was a minister, and I'm sorry that Pastor Lewis and I didn't get a chance to hear him, but from time to time, just about every month, we have a regional that we go to. And last year, there was a minister that was there, and we weren't able to go to this particular regional. And highly anointed, so I ordered the CDs because it was for the leaders in this region. And I shared I don't share unless I get permission to copy somebody's material. Well, this was a CD and I got permission and I shared it with all of you or most of you that are here. One of the CDs. Remember talking about sonship? Everybody remember that? Well, on another one of his CDs, he was talking about how the gift of discerning of spirits operates in his life very, very strong to the point that people that are in business that own major corporations call him in, and unknowing to the people that are there that are working for him or people that he's getting ready to hire, he'll call him in and introduce him to the people and so forth and so on, and the gift will just really function in him. So he knows the spirit that's in that person. He knows whether that person has a spirit of loyalty or disloyalty. He knows whether this person is honest or dishonest. He knows whether the person is trustworthy or the person's a thief. He knows whether the person's a liar. So these are, spirits that are in operation in different people's lives. And we're talking about Christians too, not just non-Christians. And so, they call him. This is what I'm just sharing, what was on the CD. And he'll let the person that owns this large corporation know, this person's a good person. He's going to help you in this way and that way and so forth and so on. Or he'll say, well, no, I wouldn't, advise this one or that one, because da, da, da. Individual finally makes the decision themselves what they're going to do. But it's very, very needful for this gift to operate in the body of Christ. So it can operate where you know the spirit that's motivating a person, the spirit that's behind a person, and it can operate where you can actually see, the demonic spirit or the angelic spirit or the presence of God or whatever. So, all of this is called the gift of discerning of spirits, and God wants and desires that each person flows in it. So somebody smiles at Pastor Lewis in our face, and when that gift's in operation, we know that person smiling in our face but stabbing us in the back. See, that's how it operates. Amen. Well, God wants it to operate like that in every single believer, but it's not the spirit of suspicion there. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to share a real live example on last week. And I'm sharing this for learning purposes. You remember when different ones came up and I was ministering? Well, there was a little one that came up. And on this person's throat again, there was a lump. But it was in a different place this time. It was not in the same place it was before. Remember, the person got healed before. Remember that? Well, this time I had the person's mother to feel the lump because I wanted the person to see that it was there and had a temperature. Well, the temperature broke, and I had the mother feel to make sure that the new temperature was gone. And the lump, after praying for the person, because the gifts of healing were in operation, it was gone. Now, after that, because I called, I wanted to talk to the mother. I wasn't able to talk to the mother, but I did talk to the person she was with. when you flow in the gifts of the Spirit, you have to realize that the enemy does not give up. And God wants us to realize that we have a part that we have to do and we have to play, particularly if it's a child, just like this boy. This father was responsible for this son. He loved the son. So he was taking the son to get victory. Amen. Amen. But even after that son got victory, you know, there were things that probably needed to be done. But, you know, I was seeking the Lord because not the lump didn't come back, but the temperature went back up. And I guess the Pastor Lewis said, what did he say? You know, I care for you all and I want you to get it right. Amen. So I do call and I do give encouragement and suggestions. Amen. But, you know, and I was asking the Lord, you know, about this temperature, you know, why? And I was telling Pastor Lewis one, and that's what I'm going to start doing. And I'm sharing it with you, so you do it too. You know, if you cast out a spirit, now remember, if the person is saved, they don't have a demon inside of them. But just because a person is saved does not mean that they're not going to be oppressed. The enemy comes and oppresses, tries to oppress all of us. Amen? Praise God. And everything, you know, that happens is not a demon either. Amen. But some things are. Some things are. And you need to have the gift of discerning of spirits so that you know when it is, so you can cast it out. Amen. And so as parents, it's important that the parents, you know, do their part, encourage their children to speak life over themselves, to speak life themselves, and for the parents to live a holy life. Because the parents are the covering of the child when they're in your home. Amen. Amen. So that's important. But also what I was going to say is, I know we see the example through Jesus, you know, as a cast, you cast a spirit, I'll say, go and leave and do not return in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And, you know, and if it tries to, you know, if it's like you have a headache and you feel that little thing coming right then and there, I bind you, Satan. I command you, migraine. I command you, spirit. Loose me in Jesus. Get mad as if it, somebody was coming in the house to rape your child. Don't just put up with it. Because you let it stay there and go on washing the dishes or at work, doing whatever. I'm too busy. Then it's going to get worse. Take authority over that thing. Because many things are demonic spirits that have been sent to hinder the child of God. But God wants us to know greater is he in us than he that is in the world. Any habits and things you're struggling with, sometimes these spirits have been passed down the bloodline. And all you got to look and see, well, Uncle Joe had this and, you know, and this uncle had that and that. And now, you know, that person's got it. Why? Because that spirit is being transferred down. So take authority over these things in Jesus' name. But, we still got to do our part. We got to work with God. Amen. Amen. So, I could tell you a lot more, you know, but I won't about gift of discerning of spirits. But the one thing I would want to stay with you is don't be fearful. And when it operates in your life, realize that God has allowed it to operate in you because it's needful. And that's what he wants. And it's not just about us. It's about God's will being done and being a blessing to others. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit, and we rejoice in you, for you are the God of our salvation, Lord, and you are very, very soon coming. King, I thank you how you are growing this body up locally. I thank you, Lord, for this ministry going worldwide and the teachings and the tapes and the CDs and the videos, Lord, and all you desire by your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for our people, Lord, coming and flowing with you, Lord, moving with God and doing the greater works, working and moving in the gifts of your Spirit, Lord, in a mighty way. That's my desire, but more importantly, it is your will, Lord. So I say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in Jesus' name. Can church say amen? Amen.